Yes, the morning show at East Coast now. Over the last while, we've been talking to mesh survivors, people who've had operations which mesh was used, and they got all sorts of problems post-operation, which has made their lives miserable. Yesterday, we spoke to a surgeon from the UK, Dr. Elle Neal, who was telling us about her experience with mesh and how she, for a lot of women involved, she actually took out the mesh and gave them alternatives in order to try and alleviate some of the discomfort that they had post-operation. This morning, we're going to talk to Mary McLaughlin. She represents mesh survivors in Ireland and the UK. Mary, good morning to you.
Good morning.
Good morning. Nice to talk to you. To place you in this story, could you tell us something about what brought you to this?
Yes, I am a lady that had a mesh put into my body in 2008. I had what is called a transobturator mesh, which is a long mesh that runs from, if your viewers or your listeners can imagine, say from hip to hip across your pubic bone. And it supports the bladder pipe for prolapse issues, and your previous guests have explained the medical part of it. I experienced problems, and those problems got quite extreme. And in 2016, I discovered the mesh scandal, which is now a global scandal. And I went to my doctors and asked to have my mesh removed. And that is really where my journey began, because I began to realise that on the island of Ireland, and indeed in the UK and other countries of the world, we do not have surgeons who can fully remove meshes. So my journey begins in a place of access to public services, and I have campaigned in Ireland, in the north and in the south, and I have helped campaign in Scotland to bring a full removal surgeon to our shores. This surgeon can fully remove the mesh implants and does not do mesh removal in stages. And this new approach is not his new approach, but the UK doctors and medical bodies have come to recognise in the past 12 months that full removal of mesh is the best way to help women and make sure they're safe after mesh removal. So I was transferred to London, to UCLH, and I was under the care of Miss Anil and her team, but I declined to have my surgery there because they were unable to remove the transobturator mesh. And my journey took me to America, to Dr. Veronicus. And Dr. Veronicus kindly responded to some contact I had with him last summer. And he agreed that I could campaign to bring Dr. Veronicus to Ireland on the public health service, and that he would come to Ireland and remove the backlog of mesh-injured women, or help to remove it. This surgeon operates twice a day, 6 days a week in the USA. He has removed over 2,600 meshes. He does all types of mesh, prolapse and urinary incontinence mesh. His clients come from all over the world, his patients. And the good thing about this doctor is he has a special tissue-sparing technique that the woman's body can heal well from the full mesh removal. He publishes all his mesh implant removals to his patients so that they can see the mesh is fully taken out. And many women who have had partial removals which have been unsuccessful travel across the world to Dr. Veronicus. So he is, in many respects, the surgeon of last resort.
And Mary, can I ask you about this, though? Once the mesh is removed, presumably the decision to do the operation in the first place and actually use mesh for the problem that was there, am I right in presuming that the reason the operation took place in the first place, that is still there, even though the mesh has been removed?
That is correct. So we have the situation that when the implant is taken out, that women can return to incontinence. Now, I've had my mesh tape taken out. It was 28 centimetres long, so if your listeners imagine, it was nearly the length of a ruler, and it was taken out in one piece. So the question is always, for all the ladies getting these meshes removed, is will they be incontinent afterwards? Dr. Veronica says that 50% of his patients are not incontinent afterwards. And one of the reasons for this is because a lot of scar tissue is created in the body from surgeries in that area, and that the bladder is ironically held up for the scar tissue of previous surgeries. So I had my mesh removed in January. I had quite bad stress incontinence before I had my mesh removed. And we're now in August, and I have minimal leakage. And I will wait for a while to see how my body heals and whether I need a further repair for my bladder. And, of course, the native tissue repair, all these things can be offered. But the important thing for the mesh scandal in Ireland at the minute is that lots of women have mesh in their body, and they are not getting access on public services to this mesh removal doctor.
And just to say that we hope to talk to a surgeon who's away on holidays at the moment, who has performed this and has taken an interest in this type of surgery, and that'll be, I think, the third week in August when we will be talking to that surgeon. So the thing is that they have suspended, both in the UK and Ireland now, the use of mesh in operations. So that's a good thing, I presume.
It is a very good thing, and not only have they suspended it because of the intervention of Baroness Cumberledge, but the Human Rights Commission in Northern Ireland, and I assume this will be replicated in the south of Ireland, that they have written to the Permanent Secretary and raised issues about availability, accessibility, acceptability and quality of mesh services. And they have raised human rights issues related to this. So even if the ban of mesh is lifted from the perspective of the NICE and the outcome of the Cumberledge Review, there is a hurdle to be overcome in proving that these mesh implants are safe for women. And one of the conditions is that the health services have to create conditions for medical services and for the provision of equal and timely access to basic preventative, curative and rehabilitative health services. And this is what our women don't have. We have women from Ireland travelling across the water and paying tens of thousands of pounds for partial removals, which do not help them. And after a while, when a woman gets a partial removal, if it doesn't work out for them, the next surgeon is very reluctant to offer a removal, because the more those implants are cut, the more difficult it is for an average surgeon to find the pieces of mesh that are left inside. So there is a danger to women getting partial removals. And then we have 20 years of surgeons in all the countries in the globe cutting these tapes. We have women who have had tape cut and no doctor wants to touch them. So the ban on mesh doesn't change anything for the mesh-injured women. And I would appeal to government to step up in looking into bringing a full mesh removal surgeon to our country for a short time to help our surgeons with that backlog of women who are in agony at home.
And Mary, you know, we had a woman on yesterday who had a very successful mesh operation, and in fact she had it three times because she fell and dislodged it on two occasions. Mm-hmm. So there are people who've had successful operations.
It depends how you define success. I was not incontinent after my mesh operation, and I would say to anyone who allows themselves to have a second and a third mesh implant put in, those removal, when it goes wrong, it can go wrong 10 years later. I lost the mobility in my legs. I couldn't walk without pain. I couldn't sit without pain. This came in 2016, which was, I was operating in 2008, so 8 years afterwards. Now, you imagine if we have no surgeons who can fully remove mesh currently, and then a woman who develops pain 10 years later, 5 years later, and has three mesh implants in her body, which surgeon in Ireland is capable of removing three mesh implants, which are all situated in a very small, they're meant to be mid-urethral, so your urethra is between 2 centimetres and 4. If you have three tapes in there about a centimetre broad, which surgeon is that lady going to go to if this goes wrong?
Mary,
you can't say there's a success because it's in your body for life at the minute until we get surgeons who can safely and fully remove these surgeries. These implants.
Where can people read more about you? Have you got a particular website or?
I have a Facebook group called Mesh Ireland, and my Facebook page is Mary McLaughlin. I'm on Twitter under Mary R. McLaughlin, and the links are on the Twitter page as well. And I have given evidence at the Cumberland Review, so anybody can go onto YouTube and type in IMMDS Review and see not only the evidence that I have given, but the evidence that all the patient groups and all the experts and all the government bodies have given and contributed to this Cumberland Review.
And thank you for contributing to what's going on with our programme. We were getting, initially we just had an interview with someone and this has mushroomed out to bring in more and more women and men. And I'm sure with the interest that we're getting on that, it'll go further as well. So we're very happy to be part of that, Mary, and no doubt we'll talk again. And
Thank you very much. Thank you.
Thank you for contributing this morning. Thank you. Mary McLaughlin there, and her Twitter is at Mary R. McLaughlin. And you can find her, she's got a Facebook page as well, Mary McLaughlin.